You know, I like to invite our president, President Trump, to the masjid. Why? It's right down the street from your beautiful home, right down the road.
He's down the road, huh?
He's right down the road. More and more people are there understanding Islam because you keep us constantly on your mind and your thoughts and on the TV.
They see you what's called the hijab. They say she's subjugated, she's oppressed. What do you say to that when you hear that?
Wearing this hijab, I'm a superstar. When I don't wear my hijab, I feel like I'm nothing. Why? Because I'm not doing it for the people. I'm doing it because I fear my Lord. And when you look at the history and the great women of the world who wore hijab, you know, we started with our Mother Mary. Then we look at Mother Teresa. She was one of the most beloved women in the world. She wore hijab. Look at our beloved nuns. Look at them.
So you came to visit the Muslims here? How's your experience been? And why'd you come? Now that's how you make America great again.
Yes. And that's how you make America great again.
Hey. Assalamu alaikum!
This is the
Assalamu alaikum, guys. How you doing? I'm here with some special guests. We're going to start off with Imam Sheikh Bilal and Sister Linda.
Mickey.
And she wants to send Trump a message. She wants to get him over here to the masjid in Daytona. She's worked for the city for over 38 years and just successfully retired.
As a recreational.
Here are our guests. Assalamu alaikum, guys. How you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Very, very nice to meet everyone there. I hope and invite you to our masjid. We have Imam Bilal here, who's got his master's degree in Islam. We do a lot of community events. And as a city employee, I was the only Muslim with over 30 employees. There's over 1,000 city employees. I wore my hijab, and they treated me with respect. I and the Imam Bilal, we do a lot of outreach programs, community outreach program, bringing people to Islam, inviting them to the mosque. You know, I like to invite our president, President Trump, to the masjid. Why? Because we like for him to be amongst the Muslim, get to know us, ask us questions about our religion, see how we are brothers and sisters. When he come to this masjid, he will find black Muslims, white Muslims, Puerto Rican Muslims, Muslims from all over the world. And we would greet him, and we would like for him to know that we would be very honored if he visit our masjid. We would feed him the best food you can imagine. But most important, we want him to come and to get to know the Muslim community. Here in Daytona Beach, Imam Bilal, he goes out to the churches, the Jewish synagogues. They welcome us. Recently, when we had the tragedy where our Jewish community brothers and sisters were murdered, Imam Bilal went to the Jewish community. They embraced him. We talked with these people. The Muslim came. We were one ummah. We were one community that day. The Jewish community was with us, and we were with them. And this is what we want our president to see, that the world is united. And we thank our president for bringing Muslim culture and religion into the forefront. Thank you, President. I personally would like to thank you because more and more people, they know about Islam. More and more people are there understanding Islam because you keep us constantly on your mind and your thoughts and on the TV. Come to Daytona Beach. See how we integrate with one another. See how the people is one community, brothers and sisters from all over the world. And Mr. Trump, President Trump, please come in April to see us. Imam Bilal would like to extend that invitation further. And as you see, we will have our Jewish community here. We will have our atheist community here. We will have our Catholic community here.
Everyone is welcome.
Our Protestant, Baptist, mm-hmm. They all are welcome to the masjid. We open our doors. In April, we have a huge program where over 1,000 non-Muslims come to our masjid and get to know us better. Also, in our masjid, one of the things that Imam Bilal support 100%, we have a day camp and a summer camp for Muslims and non-Muslims. Free. Free. We stay and keep your children from 7:30 a.m. until 6 o'clock. When school is out, we call a day camp. We invite the non-Muslim children. We give them coats. We give them food. We give them whatever they need. We are one ummah, one community. And we look forward, President, to see you come here so you can be part of this ummah.
Well,
I approve this message.
You guys get to see the optimism
Alhamdulillah.
Of the Muslim community. And remember, Muslims are those just like Jesus, Abraham, and all the other prophets, Moses. Those who have submitted to the will of the Creator. And now we have the Imam here of the community here in Daytona, right?
Yes,
you approve this message?
I approve this message, 100%. Every year we have a da'wah day. We invite, the mayor, the city commissioners, and everyone. We invite, the Christian community, the Jewish community. We invite also the atheist community. We invite everyone, and we ask everyone to come to hear from us, not to hear about us from the mainstream media, which usually demonizes
Muslims.
What'd you
say? That's real important. You said to come learn.
To learn from us, about us, not...
To learn from us.
Invite everyone. We extend our hands. We open our hands and our doors and our hearts to everyone. Come and learn about the religion of Islam. You will see that the religion of Islam is the religion of tolerance, the religion of peace, the religion of love, that Islam emphasizes on the importance of generosity, the importance of gentleness, the importance of tolerance, the importance of living in peace and harmony. These are the things that we teach our children. This is personally what I teach my congregation, that one of the objectives of our creation is to know one another, that God created us. We have different skin color, we have we belong to different ethnicities, different nationalities.
That's
a verse in the Quran, right? Exactly. We divided you into nations and tribes so that you may know one another. So we call people to come, bring your culture, bring your language. It doesn't matter how you look, what language you speak, what religion you follow. Come and let us discuss. Let us embrace one another. So
that's how you make America great again.
And that's how you make America great again.
And we have a young lady who's not Muslim. She come to learn about Islam.
About Islam.
This is a perfect example. Can you tell us, why did you come here today?
So you're what we call a not yet Muslim, is what I often say, because everyone has this potential to submit to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. So you came to visit the Muslims here. How's your experience been, and why'd you come?
Hello. I'm Daniela. I'm from Colombia. I actually speak Spanish. I get related into this because most of my friends, they come from like Islamic background, and I always felt lost in the Christianity. I grew up in Catholic school, just girls, and just Christian school, and I just felt lost on it, and I kind of am feeling the harm from our community, and that's why I'm here.
How do you feel now? How long have you been visiting, and is this your first day, or have you been coming?
Second day,
huh? How do you like,
the best.
So you feel at home, you feel welcome.
Yes.
How is it in contrast to what you hear in the media and a lot of the hype that's out there? And then versus coming to make the connection with Muslim. What did you say? It's what?
It's a lie. Like, they don't have nothing to do with, like, I don't want to use this word, but terrorism is nothing to do with Muslim. It's actually a great community. It's just about God. There is nothing to do about hurting anyone. That's not part of their religion or followings. It's just bad people, you know? Around the world, and they can be Muslim, they can be Christians, they could be atheists, they just could be anyone. There's just bad people around the world.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this is powerful, and you're hearing it. This was unplanned. I just met, what's her name again?
Daniela,
right? And so, Sister Linda, before we cut out, there's often this, and this is what the Dean Show really focuses on, motivating people to learn, to grow, to connect with Muslims, clearing the misconceptions. One of those is that when they see the Muslim woman, the one who has submitted her will to the Creator of the heavens and earth, and we say she's following the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus, they see you in what's called the hijab, they say she's subjugated, she's oppressed. What do you say to that when you hear that?
You know, from my experience working for the city, covering, I get more respect. When I was with the city, working for the city, one of the officials came up to me and said, you know, I think you are dressed most beautifully. Why? Because the way I dress, it makes me respect me more, and it makes the people around me respect me. When they see me, they don't see hijab, they see me. They're looking at me because I respect myself, and I never, ever will take off my hijab. Why? Because this is who I am. This, it makes me who I am. You know, I'm 63 years old, and I've been wearing my hijab for a long time. And when you work for a city government, and you work, you have 1,000 employees, and you're the only one with hijab, and people come by you, especially the men, and say to you, how are you? Do you need anything? Can I take this package from you? Can I open the door for you? This shows me that God Himself, Allah, the one and only one, Al-Qayyum, is with me. Why? Because against all adversity, I'm standing for who I am. I'm not undressed because I'm afraid that I won't get a job. You know, God gave me the job. Nobody gave me the job but my Lord. So when you fear Allah and you do what Allah say and you follow what Allah's words and you obey the Prophet, may peace be upon him, who say, be modest, cover yourself, to protect yourself and to take care for your husband, not your boyfriend, not even your girlfriend, for your husband, your modesty, for yourself. Oh, let me tell you something. Wearing this hijab, I'm a superstar. When I don't wear my hijab, I feel like I'm nothing. Why? Because I'm not doing it for the people. I'm doing it because I fear my Lord and I'm obeying the greatest man who ever lived, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu wasallam.
That's deep. You didn't expect all that, did you? That's exciting. That's deep. And she mentioned an Arabic word for many of the people that haven't heard it, but you probably didn't know that Jesus, he called on the Creator by Allah.
Look, this is the last words that Jesus said on the cross according to the biblical narrative. He says, Ilahi, Ilahi, lama sabachthani. My God, or my Lord, why have you forsaken me? So these are the same terms. We mentioned even before, you know, we discussed this together, that, you know, Elohim in Hebrew, Allah, this is the Aramaic term for God, and then you have the Hebrew term for God, and then you have Allah, the Arabic term of God. And unfortunately, this is a misconception. People, they say, why you call Allah, which is the Lord of the Muslims? And we mentioned this before, that, you know, the Christian, the Arab Christians and the Arab Jews also, they call him Allah. It's just the Arabic term for God. And about 40 million of the Arab Jews and Christians, they call him Allah. And the Arabic Bible, which is way older than the English Bible, he is called Allah. So there are many misconceptions, and that's why we have, you know, the Da'wah Day. That's why we invite people to come to our message. So to give us the chance to clarify these misconceptions, we tell them, you can come with any question that you have.
Any question.
Any question that you have, any misconception, come and ask us the question, and we will give you the proof, the textual proof and the rational proof.
Yeah.
The textual proof from the ultimate source of Islam, which is the Quran and the traditions of the Prophet, and also rational proof, reasonable proof that would convince you.
I have no doubt that, I mean, that hate, I mean, that takes a lot of effort, a lot from you. I mean, and the only way to rid of it is through to the correct knowledge, and that's the only way you're going to grow.
Yes.
I mean, you got an invitation from the Muslims. Linda, go ahead, say what you got to
say. I just want to say this last thing about the hijab. When you look at the history and the great women of the world who wore hijab, you know, we started with our Mother Mary. Then we started, look at Mother Teresa. She was one of the most beloved women in the world. She wore hijab. Look at our beloved nuns. Look at them, the nuns. They all wear hijab. If you look out through history, back from Western days, from, you know, if you want to go from Pharaoh's world, the women wore hijab. They covered. We cover 1,000 different ways, but we are covered. We are modest. What happened to us? Now we don't wear hijab. You have more rapes. You have more murders. You have so many bad things happen to women because we're showing everything we got and people are taking it from us. You find the Muslim women, you know, we're modest. And when I look at Mother Teresa, when I look at Mary, Mother of Jesus, may peace be upon him, when I look at all of the nuns and these famous women who wore hijab, they are the most respected women in history. And that's in the Bible, in the Torah, in the Quran. You will find these modest women.
Inshallah.
You're getting a lot of facts here. You're learning a lot. And that's how you're going to grow, through the proper knowledge, making the connection. Because I'm telling you, it takes a lot more energy harboring that hate. and you only shackle yourself and hold yourself back. But look, you've already learned a few things, and that light bulb went on. Aha. They had an aha moment. You've been lied to a lot of the times. People are out there trying to polarize, separate us, but we just gave an invitation to the Trump. Come and visit, to the Trump followers. Any final words?
Any final words, Sister Linda?
Yes, to the President, to the President of the United States. Again, we extend our invitation in Daytona Beach, Florida Masjid. It's right down the street from your beautiful home, right down the road.
He's down the road, huh?
He's right down the road. So you get on the highway, the byway, or we will come and get you ourselves. We want to bring you to our masjid so you can spend the day or a few hours to get to know the whole mosque. Because when you come to Daytona Beach, you believe me, you will find the whole world here. And why I say that? You find Muslim from Yemen. You find Muslim from Africa. You find Muslim from China. You find Muslim from Russia.
And they don't have anything in common except
la ilaha illallah. They say the same thing. And one thing that we all say, the same language. We may speak different, but one language is the same. Assalamu alaikum.
That's how we greet one another. This is how we greet our guests. Peace be upon you. And it's not just words that we utter. We mean it. We mean what we say, and we say what we mean.
You got it.
When we say assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, this is a covenant. This is a treaty between us and you. That means we will never harm you, we will never hurt you, we will show you love, we will show you compassion. And you know, even when you take the Quran, which is the holy book of the Muslims, the ultimate source of the Muslims, if you open the Quran, the first surah, which is Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening of the Quran, God introduces himself to the humanity as Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent and the most merciful. And then he says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the entire humanity. This is our message. It's a universal message. It's for everyone. And we say that, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said about the Quran, this is the banquet of Allah, and you're invited to it. So we invite everyone. We invite Donald Trump. We invite each and every person to come and to enjoy the banquet of Allah, which is the Quran.
And you will find the Muslim community, we do practice the best manners. So when you come here, you will find us waiting for you with the best food, the best manners. So Mr. Trump, please come and visit the Muslim. Say what you mean and mean what you say.
And see the unity. The prayer, one of the objectives of the prayer is unity.
That's right.
And you will see that people, you know, from Africa, Sister Linda mentioned, from Africa, from Asia, from Mexico, from all over the world, Russia, they are standing next to each other, foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. You know, they are praying to one God towards the same direction, and they are doing the same rites, the same rituals in the prayer. This, I think, shows unity, that the Muslim community is a united community. We have differences. We have difference of opinions. We have many differences amongst ourselves, but we have one thing in common, which is, you know, the love that we have for this country, the love that we have for the entire humanity, and the thing that bond us together, which is a bond greater than the bond of blood and lineage, which is la ilaha illallah, there is no deity worthy of worship except God. And that we strongly believe that Jesus preached, Abraham, Noah, all of them, they preached that there is no deity worthy of worship except God. And Jesus said the first command, Shema Israel, which is, behold, O children of Israel, my Lord and your Lord is one. And the same thing that he says in Surah Maryam, that my Lord and your Lord is one. So this is the message of all the prophets and messengers. It is a message of monotheism. It's also a message of unity, a message of harmony, and a message of love.
Yes, and you know, Imam Bilal, to add to that further, you know, God said if he wanted to make us one, you know,
one
he
would
have
made. That would be easy.
Right, he made us different. But one thing that also, in adding what the Imam said, you know, we all are different, but we all breathe what? The same air. Mm-hmm. We all eat what? The same way. We all see the same way. So we're different, but yet we're the same. We're our father Adam, our mother Eve, we all walk under 2 feet, even though some of us, I think, walk on the top of our head, you know. But the bottom line is, we are still one community.
And the best of you, according to the Quran, is not the person who's, you know, the most wealthiest or the most famous. No. He said, "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." The most noble of you in the sight of God is the most righteous. Regardless of your skin color, your nationality, your ethnicity. This is the message of the Quran. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Inna Allah la yanzur ila suwarikum wa la ila ajsamikum." God does not look at your facial appearance. He does not look at your bodies or your clothes. He looks at your heart and your actions.
Well, so we know the president has a good heart. We know that. We know that Donald Trump, he has a good heart. And we, a Muslim, we want to show him that we too have a good heart. And we want him to see him. We want to let him know that we are very merciful to even the ant that crawls on the ground, even the bird
even
that
flies. Even the plants.
Even the plants, even the trees. We want him to know our community. So when he goes before the world, he will have a better understanding of the entire Muslim community around the world.
Yeah. So we've covered a lot of ground. She mentioned all these nationalities. We even got a Bosnian American here. Assalamu alaikum, sir. How are you?
Alaikum assalam.
Yeah, so you got all of us here. And you often heard this before we cut out. Trump, he has said something probably that we can clear that up. He said, "I think Islam hates us."
I think Islam hates us.
Have you heard that that statement before?
Yeah. I heard that statement before.
So we...
But I think it's the opposite. It's quite the opposite. Islam loves you. Islam wants that which is good for you as as an individual, and also as a country, as a community. Islam calls people to be merciful. Islam calls people to be generous. Islam calls people to be patient. Islam calls people not to harm. And killing one innocent human being is like killing the entire humanity. Islam does not hate you. Islam calls you to that which is good. Islam calls you to have good characters. Islam tells you to stay away. To stay away from that which is evil, from that which is bad. Islam tells you not to harm a human being. Islam tells you that even if you lock up a cat and you do not feed that cat and it dies, that you will go into the hellfire. Islam tells us and tells everyone that a woman, a prostitute from the previous generations, she gave water to a dog and God, and she was merciful to a dog and God gave her Jannah. That's the reward of God for a person, a prostitute who gave water to a dog. Islam tells you even to respect the environment and Islam tells you to respect the parents. Islam tells you to respect your siblings. Islam tells you that the best thing that you do after believing in God is to be respectful and dutiful to your parents. Islam gives you the answers. Islam tells you that if you are a good person, if you believe in God and you become a good person, then you will live in paradise forever, eternal life. It will be your abode forever. This is what Islam says. Islam loves you. Islam gives you hope.
Yes.
Islam gives you hope. Islam tells you that there is no differences between a white person and a black person. Islam tells you that everyone are equal, and we are equal on the sight of God. This is Islam. So Islam promotes love. It does not promote
hate.
No. And Islam does not promote war. Islam promotes peace.
And even before Prophet Jesus, you know, one thing he said, God made me what? Even Jesus, he said, God made me dutiful to my mother. To my mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mary, his mother. You see, this is Islam.
We didn't even scratch the surface. I mean, that's a whole different topic about, you know, an article of faith being it to believe and love Jesus as one of the mightiest messengers.
And you cannot be a Muslim until and unless you believe in Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. If you say, "I'm a Muslim, but, you know, I have a problem with Jesus, I don't believe in him," then you're not a Muslim, no matter what you do. No, even if you come to the mosque, you know, on a daily basis. If you spent your life in the mosque, if you don't believe in Jesus and you believe that he's a prophet and you follow his message and you follow his way and you follow his path and you respect his mother, which we have an entire chapter in the Quran called the chapter of Mary. She is the only woman that is mentioned by name in the Quran. The wife of the prophet is not mentioned. The daughter of the prophet is not mentioned by him. But Maryam, she has an entire chapter that describes how chaste and how honorable woman she was.
And I look like Mary, by the way.
And you're imitating, you become a superstar because you're emulating Mary, the mother of Jesus, one of the mightiest messengers that ever sent, who came with the same exact message as all the other prophets, and the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, calling people to worship the Creator, not the creation. One more thing that came to mind. You have some people out there, unfortunately, that they say, you know what? Oh, that all sounds good. It's a lot of fluff. You know, these people are using taqiyya. Have you heard this word? What would you say to that?
Well, the term taqiyya is used, I mean...
Isn't this true that this, in nowhere in the Quran and Sunnah, this has nothing, this term...
No, the Quran says, for example, if someone is forcing you, someone is threatening your life to say something, in Islam, it is okay to say it. It is okay, for example, if, like in the case of Ammar ibn Yasir, one of the close companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he was tortured and both of his parents were killed, and then they told him, if you do not say something negative about Islam, we will kill you. So he said something negative about Islam. So the Prophet came to him and he was crying. He said, I apologize to the Prophet. He said, I did not mean to, but they tortured me and they abused me verbally and physically and they threatened my life. So the Prophet said, if they force you again to say something negative about me in Islam, say it, because you are afraid for your life. But we're not afraid for our lives. No one is forcing us to say anything. This is Islam. Yes. This is Islam. We're open book. You have the Quran and you have the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we tell people, because some of them, they say, you know, one person, he told me one time, he said, you know, when you come to the church, maybe you're saying good things, or when you invite us to your mosque, you're saying, you know, good things, positive things, but in your, you know, he said, in your special classes, in your sermons, maybe you say something different. I said,
no.
You are welcome. One time, I'll give you the time of khutbah, and come at, you know, my khutbah, come anytime.
Right.
And if you feel that there is something that is, we are, you know, spreading
something.
Hate, or we're talking about, you know, we are... for example, emphasizing on killing or hatred, all that, then you can come to me and say that.
Yeah, they probably, I mean, nowadays, I mean, they probably have all the mosques bugged already, so they're probably listening to, there's nothing to hide.
We don't have anything to hide.
Exactly. One thing, an often example that I make is that it just like during this thing, because this is a way to like shut people's ears to get them away from hearing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the haters, they'll probably a lot of times push this out. This thing and is that, imagine when the Nazis were coming knocking on doors,
mm-hmm.
looking for Jews,
mm-hmm.
right? And they wanted to kill them. You had, in that case, let's say you were hiding a family,
mm-hmm.
right? You were hiding children in the
mm-hmm.
basement, whatever. You had, Islam gives you a right to protect these people. Now you're able to say, if they came and said, where are these kids? Where are they? They're trying to get the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, because technically you're lying. You're
yes.
saying, no, they're not here.
You can
right?
do that.
So this would be a form. But technically there is no, from my investigation,
no.
there is no word that we use called taqiyya.
No.
This is something I believe from the Shiite. It's not
It is part of the Shia theology, which is even in the time of war or even in the time of peace, they are allowed, unfortunately, to lie. And to tell you, things that are different from what they believe. You know, the opposite of what they believe. But in Islam, and we're talking about the 96% of Muslims, because this is the Sunnah, they make up about 96 or 95% of the Muslims. This is maybe something that people
yeah.
even don't know. They think that when they say Sunnah and Shia, they think 50% are Sunnah and 50% are Shia, and we have denominations just like the Christians. No. The mainstream Islam, which is the mainstream Muslim, we're talking about Sunnah, they make up 95 or 96% of the Muslim population. So what we believe is that you have to stand up for that which is haq, for the truth. You have to speak your mind. You have
mm-hmm.
to express your opinion freely. You have to tell people what you believe. This is da'wah.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lie to people. You can't say, oh, no, we believe in two gods. Oh, we lie to people. There is no gain. There is no benefit. In this country, you are protected. You have freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want to say. If we live in a different country, and if you speak your mind, then you will get killed, then that's a different case. Then we say, maybe these Muslims are lying and they're using taqiyya, as you mentioned, or tuqiyya. But there's nothing to afraid. Everybody's saying you can say whatever you want to say.
We've covered a lot. And the last point, no such thing as dakiyah in Islam. Islam calls you to be truthful, and the ultimate truth is the call to worship the creator, not the creation. And we covered the myth and the misconception. You got to speak to our sister Linda here, the superstar who's following the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus, the love that we have for Jesus, and the event, again, for Trump to come in. You got an invitation to the president to come to connect with the Muslims and anyone else. That's in April. That's here.
Here in Daytona Beach, Florida. And we can give you the information, who to contact, Imam Bilal here.
He should contact us, and then we'll give him the information.
Yes, well, his people can do that. I can give you my number.
They can make, they'll find you easy if they want.
Yeah. If they come here to this masjid, you will find me and Imam Bilal here, inshallah, with the rest of the Ummah here, and you will find us.
We'll invite him also to our houses. You can bring his family also with him.
Yes. Since he's right down the road here in Florida.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for tuning in here.
Thank you for your efforts, and may Allah bless you, and may Allah bless the
And we'll
the
be in
Deen
Chicago,
show.
Inshallah, soon.
And may Allah bless your beautiful father and your family. Jazakum Allah khair.
Because again,
you're always welcome to Daytona Beach.
And again, your father looks like your brother.
Alhamdulillah. So you know where to find us every week here at the Deen Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. We'll see you next time, inshallah, God willing. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.